Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
Lessons from the long way. We've all been on a journey of different sorts. I once heard of a family, they had a rule on a family vacation. The rule was that the kids could not ask, "Are we there yet?" until the house is out of sight. Well, I'm sure we all have stories to tell, different experiences we've had. But I want us to look at tonight the children of Israel and then compare that and extract some truths about our journey in the Christian life. Some of us are well into our journey. Some hearing this message are early in their journey. But either way, lessons that we can learn from the long way. Our context tonight is talking about Israel. And if you look at the big picture and the flow of things, in the book of Genesis, God had told Abraham, "I'm going to build a kingdom through you." Abraham then to his son Isaac, to his son Jacob, whose name then was changed to Israel. And they started to get entangled into the world there in the land of Israel, Canaan. And they started to get entangled with the people, and God wanted them to stay a peculiar people unto Him. Separated, as we are today, we're to be separate from the world. Come out from among them. Well, they didn't come out from among them. And so God put them into Egyptian bondage. Do you ever wonder why He did that? 400 years of bondage? And they were in bondage in Egypt, and the Egyptians did not like the Jews and the shepherds. "You go over there and live by yourselves." Well, if they would have disciplined themselves to do that where they were, they wouldn't have had to go through that. Goshen is where they were. And so it is, God says, if you won't separate, I'll separate you. I need Messiah to come from this line. So it is that God allowed them to be enslaved by the Egyptians. And that separation kept them pure as they were in bondage. Certainly they did not like what happened to them, but it worked. After several hundred years of slavery, God called Moses to lead the children of Israel from that bondage. He returned, confronted Pharaoh, greatly reducing the stories. There were the 10 incredible contests and miracles of Moses against Pharaoh and the Egyptians, which led ultimately to their freedom. Pharaoh says, "Get out." They get out, and only a brief time later, he says, "What have I done?" And he rallies the army, and they pursue them. And here our story unfolds. As the children of Israel have now left the bondage, they have gone over, and they're against the Red Sea. On the one side is the sea, and now on the other side is this massive army that has come to destroy them. Why would God lead them to such a place? Well, this takes us to our study, Lessons from the Long Way. As we think about them going from Egypt to the Promised Land, I want us to think now about this Promised Land. Exodus chapter 3, verse 8. God speaking to Moses, and He says, "I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, and unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites." So it is, God says, I will take you from here and I'm going to put you in a promised land. But there's something very interesting in Exodus chapter 13. Please read with me in verse 17. "It came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that he led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines," although that was near. That was the short way. "For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. But rather God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt." And so here it is, our title, The Long Way. There was a short way to the Promised Land. And God says, I can't take you that way. I have to take you this way. And it's for your own good. And how many times in our lives do we feel like we're on the long way? Many times God leads his people the long way, and we have to trust, for he does know best. Now, reading the context of this, we're told in Exodus, reading it, why God did what he did. I'm not convinced he told the children of Israel that that was a better way. Maybe they just happened to know it. But remember, they were slaves in bondage. How did they know exactly the best way to go, etc.? There was a shorter way. And maybe they did know from their fathers passing it down, hey, that's a better way to go. It's faster. Why are you taking me this way? And have you never asked that in your dealing with God? Lord, why? Why did you make me go this way? Why couldn't I just go this way? The truth is, in our lives, we may not even realize whether we're on the long way or the short way. Either way, trust God. And don't try to figure out if you're on the long way or the short way. Just trust God. But the truth is, sometimes when it's all over and you look back, you wonder, well, why did God take me that way? And then you start to realize, oh, because he did this, 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 this. Lessons from the long way. Obviously, they would want to get there as fast as they could. Get me out of this bondage as fast as you can. And number two, get me to the promised land as fast as you can. And God says, I have the best way to go. Because if I take you this way, it's going to be a problem. You're not going to be able to handle it. I want us to consider some lessons. Number one, the first lesson we see here is Israel was not ready to see war. Exodus 13, 17, at the end, for God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. We would think after the experiences of the 10 miracles that God did against the Egyptians, they would have such incredible faith that nothing would faze them. But God knew, even though they saw those incredible miracles, if they saw war with the Philistines, they're going to beat feet back to Egypt into bondage. And God knows us. Sometimes, if he takes us a certain way, he knows we're going to give up on the Christian life, if you will, and we're going to go back to the world, because I never had those problems in the world. And we'll get to that. They kind of had faulty memory. We would think that those miraculous contests would have given them such faith, but it didn't. And I think it's interesting we can note here is God knows you. And he knows what you can endure. And you have to trust him that he will not give you anything more than you can handle. They were not going to be able to handle to see the Philistines. There will come a day Israel will fight the Philistines, but not now. You're not ready. And yet, how many times do we think we're ready? And God says, I know you better than you know you. You're not ready. Certain ones were, but as a whole, Israel was not ready. Had he allowed them to see the Philistines, they would have missed the blessings that he had for them. So it is. We need to trust God. And in this case, he made the decision for them. And many times God makes decisions for us. Why did that happen? Whatever that is. And you had no control of it. Well, because God said, this is what you need. Folks, please see God in everything you do all day, every day. He is alive in your life and my life, whether we know it or not, whether we feel it or not. Feelings are deceptive. Facts are true. So it is, the first thing, they weren't ready to see war. And we're not ready sometimes to see what we're going to see. Number two, the long way would show the Egyptians that he was God. Exodus chapter 14, verse 4, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know. He wanted all of the Egyptians. Do you know why? Because he wants to save their soul. And Pharaoh has already seen 10 incredible miracles, and he will not believe. And God says, I'm going to do something to make sure the common man knows that I am God. Because God loves the Egyptians. That the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. That's what it's all about. He wanted to get the glory, and he wanted their souls saved. Now, certainly they knew the 10 contests that they went through. that now they're going to see it again with great destruction of the whole Egyptian army. Quote, Pharaoh has spies watching the children of Israel. The movement of perhaps 2.5 million people would be very difficult to conceal anyway. Pharaoh expects the Israelites to move up the coastal route and through the land of the Philistines. When they head toward the wilderness, he thinks they are lost and do not know where they're going. God says when he thinks they are trapped, he will pursue them. It's obvious that Pharaoh let the Israelites go reluctantly. God is not through with this man, Pharaoh, yet. You would think the Egyptians had experienced enough disaster, but something even more profound is going to take place that will convince them. This lesson of the long way, in this case, is not a punishment upon Israel, but simply he wants them to be a tool so that he can do something. Sometimes you will go the long way because God needs you to be there. It's not a punishment. It's actually something to be great. If I can be used of God, send me the long way. Delay my arrival in the promised land for the sake of souls. I'll go with that. It's not punishment. Hardships sometimes are just because God's up to something good and he knows he can trust you. So he uses you. And therein we must be excited about that. It's our cheerful obedience that's important as God works his will through us. I don't know what you're doing, dear God, but I know you're always up to something good. Number 3, the long way allowed the children of Israel to see God's power that's used on behalf of his people. Now, earlier we saw that he was going to show the Egyptians, but he also shows us sometimes his incredible hand. Israel had much to learn, and one of the things they had to learn, he was going to show them that I will protect you. I have let you go through several hundred years of misery in bondage, but I also protect you. On the long way, they were headed to the Red Sea, and they saw the Egyptian army. And all seemed lost. If you were there, honestly, earthly speaking, and all you could see was the Red Sea, and over here you saw the Egyptian army, what would you think? Earthly speaking, there is no hope. And that's when God steps up to the plate and says, but I am not slave to this world. Watch what I can do. There's a highway underneath the Red Sea. You just can't see it. Is that amazing? Absolutely amazing. They had no hope, earthly speaking, and yet with God you have all hope. It wasn't too long ago, I remember hearing on the news when they were having these awful fires over in Greece. I don't know if they're still going. And people were literally heading to the sea and getting into the water because there was nowhere to go. There was just nowhere. The cities were burned on the coastline. And they had this one lady there, and of course they have her speaking in Greek, and they have the translator complaining to the president or whatever it was, you have left us with no hope except God. And I thought, okay, but if you don't believe God, then I guess that is pretty hopeless. I thought that was very profound. Israel saw that God not only will protect them, but he also saw that he brings judgment on those that do wrong. God promises, have you ever been wronged in life? We all have been wronged in life. And God says, vengeance is mine, I shall repay. Do you think he repaid Egypt for what they did to the children of Israel? The whole army drowned in the Red Sea. When they left that night of the Passover, what did they do? They took their wealth and they gave it to Israel, said, get out of here. They got all their back pay. One day, God makes it all possible. He makes it all right. He is the great overruler of all time. So it is. Israel has seen God protects us, number one. God brings judgment on the enemies, number two. And I don't have to avenge myself. God will do it for me. Number four. God wanted Israel to know that they were to go forward and not backward. Hence, they walked through on dry land. And when they got to the other side, it slapped shut. You're not going back that way. It didn't open up again. And how many times in life does God want us, keep going, keep going, don't turn around. Now, I think it's a glorious picture of salvation by grace. You can't lose your salvation. But I think it was also symbolic because they could find another route to get down there. They wouldn't have to go to the Red Sea. He says, don't go back. If you will, burn that bridge. That's not a viable option anymore in your life to go back to Egypt. It's a place of misery. It's a symbolic, when you read this, it's always symbolic of the world. That sinful world out there. That's what we're to come out of. God says, I've delivered you from it. Why would you go back? It's slapped shut. Do you not think also they saw the hand of God? You know, the last one of us got out of there, several million people, and the last one got out, and that land was dry until we were safe. God's in control. Many lessons they learned through all this. We're kind of grouping many together in some of these. You're okay. Nothing can happen to you unless God has approved it. Go forward, not backwards. God makes no mistakes. He knew exactly when to close that sea. By the way, forget all these theories that archaeologists have found underwater mounds and that's how they did it. If it's true that there's an underwater mound, that contradicts Scripture because it says there was a wall of water on each side. If it was an underwater mound, we'd probably, you know, getting our feet wet or something, but where's the wall of water on the sides? He says there was a wall of water. There was a wall of water. I believe that. And I also have to wonder how they felt walking through. Are you sure? Are you sure? Could you hurry up there? And the last person was safe. The last one. God wasn't, hurry up, I'm getting tired. You were safe. God doesn't make mistakes. With the closing of the Red Sea, they were separated from their past bondage. The pain of the whip was over. You're out, and I'm going to close it. I don't want you to ever go back there. I want you to go to the promised land that flows with milk and honey. They could now move on with a life of serving God. Look past what has been done. Move on from this. I've closed the door. Look forward to a bright future. You don't have to fear the Egyptians ever again. So it is, they moved on from the past. Our fifth lesson, and this has got several bundled in here, God knew that the wilderness wanderings would be good for them. You see, when they went to the Red Sea, they didn't go the short path. They now got to the other side of the Red Sea. They're going to have now a journey to get up to the Promised Land. But along the way, they had some lessons to learn, and this we have to really pay attention to. Number one, these people, after all they had been through, after the contests in Egypt, after the Red Sea has opened and closed, they still had things to learn. And they could only learn these on the long way. Number one, they were prone to idolatry. I want you to consider some of the things that have happened on the other side of the Red Sea. You would think if we saw the Red Sea part and we walked through it with several million people that God's in control. And what did they do? Exodus 32, verse 1. And when the people saw that Moses delayed, he was up on Mount Sinai getting the law. He did not come down out of the mount. The people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said, up, make us gods which shall go before us. For is this Moses, the man, not God, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt? We wot not what's become of him. And what did Aaron do? Of course, let's go ahead and make an idol. Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, your daughters. Bring them unto me. And he received them at their hands and fashioned it with a graving tool and made it a molten calf. And he said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which has brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. You have got to be kidding me how prone we are to sin. Verse 5, and when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. When you see Lord in the King James, all capitals, it means Jehovah was the original root word. They're claiming still to be the people of God, and yet they said, this is the God that brought you out of Egypt. God didn't do it. They rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. God says, you got some lessons to learn. How about this lesson they need to learn? They were prone to complaining. On the long way, they would desire to return to Egypt. Here it is, I referenced this earlier, because their memory was faulty. Look at Numbers 11:5. We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. And you cried and cried and cried because it was awful and you wanted out. It wasn't as wonderful as you remember. Consider, as this is going on, let's go to verse 4. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again. Who shall give us flesh to eat? You poor babies. God has given you miracle after miracle. He has delivered you from the bondage which you have cried out for over 400 years. God has set you free, and you're going to cry over some meat. We see that in verse 5. We remember the fish that we did eat freely in Egypt. No, you didn't. Verse 6, but now our soul is dried away. There's nothing at all beside this manna. What God gave us just isn't enough. Really? Really? So Israel is prone to complaining. He delivered them, Exodus 3:7, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. I've heard their cry of the taskmasters. I know their sorrows. I have delivered them, and they cry, I want to go back to Egypt. How quickly we forget. The good old days were not such good old days. What else did they learn while they were on the wilderness wanderings? They learned to criticize. They were prone to criticism. Numbers 20, verse 2, and there was no water for the congregation. They gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. They have forgotten again all that God had done. All that God had done. Verse 3, and the people chode with Moses, saying, would God that we had died with our brethren when our brethren died before the Lord. And why have you brought up the congregation of this Lord into the wilderness that we and our cattle should die there? Hold it. It says in verse 3 of Exodus chapter 3, verse 7, I've heard their cry. And now they're saying, why did you take us out of there? Faulty memory. Verse 4 of Numbers 20. Now why have you brought up the congregation of the Lord? Why did you do this? Congregation of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there. And wherefore have ye made us come out of Egypt to bring us unto this evil place? It is no place of seed or figs or wines or pomegranates. Neither is there water to drink, but there sure is God and there sure is manna. They had to learn to stop doubting. In Numbers 13, Moses sends spies into the land and they come back. 2 have good reports, 10 have bad reports. Who are the 2 that came back with a good report? What are their names? Joshua and Caleb. Name 1 of the 10. You want to be remembered? Serve God. We don't remember, but God keeps a wonderful record of His saints. This world won't remember us. And the ones that doubted, the report was, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great, and moreover, we saw the children of Anak. It's true. Had they seen the Philistines, they would have turned around, because here, after all they've been through, they're still ready to turn around. So it is that they were doubting. And for this unbelief, there would be a generation that would die in the wilderness, because they did not go into the promised land. God said, enough is enough. This generation will die. Numbers chapter 14, verse 29. Your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and all that were numbered with you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. God says, I have blessed you and blessed you and blessed you and blessed you. I've taken you to the edge of the promised land. And you say, no, God will not give that to us. We have to do it on our own. It's too much. And God says, everybody over 20 years of age will die. Your carcasses will fall. And thus I want you to think about this. Here they are. There's a short way from Egypt to the promised land. And God says, I can't take you this short way. I'm going to take you the long way through the Red Sea, and we're going to come up a different way. It's going to take longer. And when you get to the edge of the promised land, you're going to sin so badly, I'm going to make the long way a lot longer. Is that a frightening thought? That it would be our fault that we're going to have to spend more time. They witnessed the 10 contests with Moses and Pharaoh. They saw the blessings of the Passover and the miraculous deliverance. They saw the Red Sea part. They saw the Red Sea close. They saw water from the rock. They saw the hand of God provided for them. And they complained and said, we can't take the land. 40 years in the wilderness would be a blessing to them, because they're going to have to learn, and they're going to learn a lot of lessons. That group that came out of Egypt, a generation had to die in 40 years, and the younger generation learned a lot. Now, they're still going to have their problems. But I want you to think about this journey too, as God says, fine, we're going to walk for 40 years now through this more wilderness wanderings. But did you know that even when we sin and we're on the longer way, God is still there? I want you to see the miraculous provision of God. Deuteronomy 29:5. And I, God, have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxed old upon you, and thy shoe has not waxed old upon thy foot. I will still take care of you. Your clothes won't wear out, and your shoes won't wear out. God is ever faithful. Now, that bothered the women because they wanted new shoes, right? Even if they're not worn out. But is that not amazing that even when we sin and God says, you're going to suffer 40 years, God says, I will still put my hand. And that's one of those miracles you don't realize until time has passed. Hey, honey, are your shoes wearing out? I don't know. I never look. Would you take a look? No, they look to be pretty good. So do mine. When'd you get those shoes? I don't know. I had them when we came out of Egypt. It was part of the plunder. And they don't wear out. And they were walking on them all the time. What a God we serve. Whether he takes us the long way or the short way, trust him. And they were a changed people. Let me read, quote, the God who performed all those miracles, who led the children of Israel through the wilderness, is the same one leading us today. If God does not bring us on the shortest path to his goals, to the place that he has promised to bring us, then he has his reasons, and it is for our good. It is our job to keep moving forward on his path, not ours. So, as you journey, do not be anxious about tomorrow, but engage in what God is doing in your life today. God has in mind his best for us, and we should not lose faith at the sight of obstacles like the Red Sea or the battles we must engage in order to reach our destiny. Do not give up on what God has promised you, even though it seems slow and coming. And though it may be long, dry way, don't cry about it. Go forward. Instead, he took them on a 40-year journey and involved the need for God to perform yet another miracle. And it was all because he took them to the Red Sea. That's amazing. The lessons that they learned.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.